up quick at about noon.
So I guess you have a choice. Let's go.
This is the Lowdown. The Lowdown. Damian Barley.
D-Lo.
Jason Ross.
Jay Ross. What up?
The Lowdown.
Y'all ready for the Lowdown?
Yay!
It must be 12 o'clock. My station's on live. Take your positions. Time for D-Lo. Jay Ross and I in wordplay official. S-A-C. The initials is fired out of my pencils for the Lowdown. Quiet on set. Button your dental. Home of the Raiders. KHDK is raising the ceiling. 1140 is mandatory. I suggest that you listen. Name another show that go blow for blow. I'll give you this one. Kings to the A's. But radio will not be the same. This the Lowdown. No playground. We on grown man business. You don't like hot takes. You know what they say. Stay out the kitchen. Ever so vicious. Wordplay the pen smith. No competition. Just consequences for people who don't tune in and listen. You'll be missing all the info. I put that on my kinfo. Noon to 3 o'clock, you know they hot just from the intro. This the Lowdown.
You already know, man. We got them Friday feels and a good afternoon to you. Welcome in to the Christmas Eve edition of the Lowdown. Or as Chris Berman used to say, let us be the very first to wish you a very Merry Christmas and a happy holidays and all of that fun stuff. We thank you so much for being here with us. For those of you that actually went to work today, God bless each and every single one of you. We were just looking out. The parking lot is relatively full. I imagine by the time our broadcast is finished, that's going to change drastically.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I'll one-up it and say by the time this hour is done, that's going to change. Hey, you know, I'm going to go to lunch. Be out at lunch. Yeah. Screw it. I'm just not coming back.
Business lunch.
Business lunch.
Yeah, closing deals.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. That is Jason Herbert Walker Ross. Nice. The best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. That is Chris Verlade, and you've got your nerve to talk. Chipotle opened early for you.
No, I just stood in line and waited until they opened.
Dude, but you were here before 11.
They open at 10:45.
They open
no,
at
they
10:45?
Don't.
That's a random time.
That's a thing?
Random.
Chipotle opens at 10:45?
Yes.
That sounds like fake news.
That absolutely sounds fake.
Okay, who are you going to believe?
Who are our choices? Yeah.
So you think I got like there and they just saw me out front, opened everything up, started cooking just so I could get Chipotle?
Well, no, I don't think they started cooking right when you got there. Like, Chipotle is all of 30 seconds away. What I think happened is they saw you standing out there and they just opened the door and said, Chris, come on in. We're going to continue to take your money.
10:45.
Okay. All right.
Beat the lunch rush.
That's going to be the quality of today's program, folks. 44-11-40.
Christmas
Chris,
special.
Yes, indeed. It is our Christmas holiday extravaganza, as Jason Ross decided for us yesterday. That's what we're doing, man, and it's going to be a whole lot of fun. 44, I don't know what any of that means, by the way. I have no clue what Christmas extravaganza means. We're just going to kind of decide as we go along here. 44-11-40, if you want to jump in on the text line. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. No Kings game tonight. They play at the Golden 1 Center tomorrow against the San Antonio Spurs. You could see the Sacramento Kings take on the Phoenix Suns December 29th at the Golden 1 Center. If you're listening on the app, send us a screenshot of you listening. If you're walking around shopping, if you're at the mall getting last-minute stuff done, if you're grocery shopping, whatever it is, just take a picture of you listening to us on your app. Tweet it to us. At Damian Barling and at Jason Ross 1140. If you don't have the KHDK app yet, go to your app store on whatever operating system that you have. Just type in KHDK, download, rate 5 stars while you're there, if you wouldn't mind, and then listen to your favorite show live. And any part that you miss, you can go back and listen in the on-demand section. Mike E. Winfield. One of our favorites. He's going to join us at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. He's performing at Tommy T's in Rancho Cordova tonight. Always fun to have Mikey around. We Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer is going to be with us at 1:30. Apparently, this XFL thing might be a little bit more real than we thought. Because I didn't think it was real. I thought this is – it's year end. Vince is just doing stuff because he's bored and he doesn't know what to do with his money. But he did something yesterday that – this is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is very much a thing. We'll talk a little bit about that at about 12:45 or so. David Meltzer will join us at 1:30. Chris, the long awaited Christmas movie list from Chris Verlade is coming today.
Christmas movies.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
For the dozens and dozens of fans that want to hear my opinion.
Yes, indeed.
It's coming up.
Yes, indeed. It's for the several and several of the fans out there that want to hear Chris for lots. Top five Christmas movies. Are we going top five, bottom five, or what are we doing?
I'll figure that out.
Okay, good. Yeah, that's pretty much
going to find out.
That's going to be the entire show. We're just going to figure out as we go. We'll give you an update on the Linear Championship. We will talk the NFL this week. There are Saturday games, FYI. Just plan accordingly. Not only are there Saturday games, there's a full slate of games on Christmas Eve. There's a Christmas game on
a couple of them.
Yeah, there's a Christmas game I think some people listening are probably very much interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it matters anymore at this point, but it is your squad playing that. Oh, there's a couple of Christmas games. You're right. And we've got them both for you. How about that? So, yeah, we will get to all of that. Do want to mention, we're going to, you know, kind of change tone here a little bit. Dick Enberg passed away last night. I'm not sure the cutoff age for Dick Enberg. Like, I'm 37. I remember Dick Enberg calling Raider games very vividly. You could correct me if I'm wrong. I'm pretty confident he was on the call of the game Bo Jackson got injured. And I remember,
I don't know that,
strangely but. Enough, I love Bo Jackson, and I remember watching that. I remember where I was. I remember sitting there watching it. I remember the tackle and thinking when you see a player on the ground, you know, at the time, I can't even imagine how old I was at the time, maybe 11 or 10 or something, looking at him thinking, I hope that's not Bo. Oh, it is. It's Bo. Okay. And then I remember the scene of him kind of limping off the field, holding his, I think it was his son's hand. And I remember that so vividly. I remember the 1992 Olympics. My favorite is the 1992 All-Star Game with Magic. And if you remember the end of that game, or if you've never seen it, Magic hits like three threes in a row. And there's one where he comes down the court. Michael's kind of like wrapping him up. And they're not going to let Magic get it again. And then he gets it, and then Michael switches off Magic, and Isaiah comes over to him. And he takes, like, this fadeaway three with 20 seconds left, and he goes in, and he drops that trademark, oh, my. And the guys said, the hell with it. Game's over.
Yeah.
And they just let the clock – nothing. The referees didn't do anything. There was no official – they just let the clock wind down and the game end. And that's probably my favorite. That's my favorite Magic Johnson moment, but it's probably my favorite Dick Enberg call.
Yeah, he's a hero. He's an icon. He was likable, relatable, mm-hmm. good at what he did. And yeah, for me, just growing up, listening to him, watching him, he did UCLA stuff too, years and years and years ago. But NBC, kind of the voice of NBC, college yeah. basketball, NFL games, Olympics, big moments, just always felt like Dick Enberg was a part of it. And yeah, one of the good ones. I mean, really good at what he did, but again, really likable.
Yeah,
right? Like when he wasn't the kind of guy that would offend you at all.
He's not. I think he might be the last. You know, I think he's the last of the broadcasters who are just about the game. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because it feels like a lot. This is a very ego-driven industry that we're in, which is why you don't fit in it. Like you absolutely don't fit it. You're just very good at what you do, but you have no ego. Everybody in this business has an ego, and they want to be remembered. And whether you're Stephen A. Smith or any of those goofballs on Fox Sports 1, you're trying to do something to be remembered. There are guys now who call games, and they want to – even – you know, I know this is almost – you almost can't say things like this, but even the last year or two for Brent Musburger,
mm-hmm.
he would say things that really drew attention to himself. Dick Enberg never did that. Like, he was never about him. He was about the call of the game. And again, you know, I don't know how far we go with this because I'm so concerned. Like, how old are you that you really remember Dick Enberg?
Yeah,
you know,
no, that's I mean? A good question. And I would, you know, it depends. I know we've got a wide range of audience, but I think your point on him is spot on, Damian, that he could still make the game feel big, but not because of him. I mean, he made it, if that makes sense. It wasn't about him, just like you said. You knew it was a big game when Dick Enberg was doing it.
Yeah.
He would make it sound big, but you wouldn't leave that going, man, he was over the top, or he bothered me, or it became about him. He just did the craft in a way that he knew how to do it. He did it in a great way, and he was, like I said, just one of the really likable people.
And he just retired from working the Padres. Mm-hmm. 16? 2016.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's
and what was he, 82?
Yeah, 82 years old.
Yeah.
But he was one of the good ones, man. He was as Jason keeps saying, you don't hear bad things about him. And his calls and his passion for the game that he was calling was always very, very genuine. I know, you know, I think Marv is that too. Like, Marv has some stuff on his record that we remember. But when you block that out and just focus on him in the game, he's that too. Like, he puts a focus on the game. But Dick Enberg didn't have any of those black marks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what was really, really cool about him.
You know what's great? I remember a story not that long ago that G-Man was telling me. You know, I look up to G-Man in that same way.
Sure.
And Gary used to work some NFL with NBC. And there was a game. Now, it's probably going to be – it was at Sleep Train. So maybe 5 to 7 years ago, and Dick Enberg was there. I think he has a son that's in
– Davis.
Yeah, in the Davis area, in this area. So Dick Enberg was there, just random Kings game around the holidays. And G-Man heard that he was, and Gary, like, really got giddy. Like, Dick Enberg's here? I mean, and I got to tell you, and Dick Enberg at one point either, I think, called him or contacted him in some way when Gary was, you know, Dick Enberg was probably doing the main NBC games.
Mm-hmm.
And G-Man was doing NBC games, but on a different tier.
Like,
but still,
regional, sure.
Yeah. And I guess Dick Enberg called him and just said, I got to tell you, you are, you know, and just gave him all sorts of compliments and praises. And G-Man was still hanging on to that and telling, and the way he was telling us the story, it was, you could tell how much it meant to him, and he was super excited that Dick Enberg was there. And it was just funny to see all of us who kind of look up to G-Man that way, and he was like, Dick Enberg's here?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I have to get down there and say, I mean, oh, it was almost, he was really caught up in it, and I thought that was awesome.
Yeah.
Tells you about both guys,
no,
too.
No, absolutely. It's, yeah, those two are cut from the same.
Absolutely.
The same mold. But it's cool to see someone you look up to react to someone that they look up
yeah.
to. And those types of things where – you know, you mentioned Dick Enberg calling G-Man when he's doing NBC stuff. Like, that type of stuff, people don't do anymore. You know what I mean?
Because it's a shame.
Because it's so competitive.
It's the ego part you're talking about.
Right, exactly.
I can't tell this guy that he might, hey, you're really good. You could have my, you know. That's,
you don't want to lose your spot. Like, I'll say this since, you know, we're wrapping up the year here next week, and the only reason that we're here doing this show together is because 2 years ago I came in like one summer to do a show with you, and you made me look like $1 million. Like, I called you that day. I was like, dude, you really like made me look better than I am today. And that, like, people don't do that anymore. Like, I worked with a lot of people here at this station before, you know, we set out to do the lowdown some 20 months ago.
Wow.
And, yeah, no one did that. No one else did that. You know, working with Deuce was great. Some of the other things we did were always good. But I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. And that's just completely lost now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can think of people that called Kara when she started doing her stuff, like the House Party Live stuff with Cosmore and all of that stuff. And because the Kings were good back then, and the Kings were, you know, you stayed up till 10:30.
Yeah.
You know, that's when she got calls from the likes of like Mike Wilbon. You know, you can just count on one hand how many people took the time to do that and say, hey, you've got this. Mike Breen is another guy. Been so supportive of her, you know, her entire career. Just, and the point of all of that is just to say it's very, very rare.
Mm-hmm.
Guys like G-Man, guys like Mike Breen, and the guy we're talking about, guys like you, guys like Dick Enberg, that's not the norm in this industry. Most guys are jerks, like me.
No.
And Dave and Grant, no. Like, we're jerks.
No, you're not.
But there's a very small group that's not, and that's what Dick Enberg was, man, and it's I didn't even again he was working last year.
Yeah, like, I
just
didn't
find
know,
that amazing.
And I honestly I didn't read up. I just once I saw it, I went, oh man. And I don't know, honestly, being naive on this. What was the cause?
He's 82.
Yeah,
I think that's all it was.
Okay. But you're right, because I mean I remember when he went to he was still doing some national stuff, and then it was I don't know it's probably been longer than I think, but a few years ago when he went to the Padres, I went, okay, well that's nice, and he, you know, he was kind of picking his schedule, doing different things, still loved baseball, and I thought that was great, and I'm like, wow, what a treat for Padre fans.
He loved baseball because he could tell stories in baseball, which is why, you know, Vin Scully is such a legend down there. You can tell stories.
Yeah,
like when you can
you have
there's
the time.
Such a break in the game. There's so much time. It has to be, for someone who loves a challenge, it has to be the best game to call, yet the absolute most difficult. Because when you're calling a basketball game, it's nothing but action.
Right.
When you're calling a football game, you have to be incredibly descriptive of what's happening. But with baseball, you have time to breathe. And that's what, you know, what was Vin Scully doing last year? Reading grocery lists that got everybody all excited? Mm-hmm. Like, that's the game that he calls. It gives you that opportunity. And if you can call a baseball game and be remembered, you're on a different level than any other broadcaster.
It's a great skill to be able to do that, to storytell, to still weave in the game. And he could do it. And he could do a lot of things. He did a lot of events. I mean, mm-hmm. from basketball to football to Olympics, as you mentioned. Yeah. And just felt like, and you're right, I wonder about the age. I don't know where the cutoff is, where Dick Enberg, who's that?
Yeah.
Like, that saddens me, but I know that's a reality.
Yeah,
I mean,
no, that's,
you know, you might, if you're 20, do you know him? If you're 25, I don't know. I don't know where the cutoff is.
If it wasn't for Ali and the relationship between Ali and Cosell,
mm-hmm. How many people know?
I don't know how much I would know about Howard Cosell.
I barely remember. I mean, I do remember him, but I was pretty young.
Right. So, like, there's a cutoff, and we have a, you know, we get very specific updates on who's listening to the show.
Right.
We know there's a lot of people who are my age, your age, maybe even a little bit older. And we also know there are a lot of people who are like 18 to 34 who listen to the show and who might be like, Dick Enberg. What?
Yeah.
I think I know him. Let me go look this up. Let me go see. But yeah, he was one of the good guys, man. So rest in peace to Dick Enberg. If you're not familiar with him, just go look. I mean, he's called Super Bowls. He's called 49er game. I think I want to say he called the catch. That might not be right. He called some big four. Oh, no, it wasn't the catch. It was the John Taylor touchdown against the.
Oh, in the Super Bowl?
Was it the Broncos?
Or the Bengals?
Bengals. He called that.
You know what's great? That just kind of backs up the point that I bet we could go back in history and we'll go, wow, he called that game? Mm-hmm. He called that game. Yeah. There's no signature moment that he stands out, but that's fine. He was in the game, though. He did the game.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And he did it all so well.
Absolutely.
He did it all so well. So rest in peace to one of the good ones, man, Dick Enberg out there. We'll transition here. Really, it was a very quiet night in sports last night. We did come across something very interesting. Daryl Morey, the general manager for the Houston Rockets, was on with Ryan Russillo yesterday. And I want to play this for you and get your unfiltered opinion on it. I won't tell you how I feel. Here's Daryl Morey, general manager of the Houston Rockets, talking about the Golden State Warriors yesterday.
I mean, it's the only thing we think about. I think I'm not supposed to say that, but I mean, we're basically obsessed with how do we beat the Warriors, and you know, we don't deserve to be able to even say that. Last year, the Spurs knocked us off. So we're very worried about the Spurs. They always are, you know, one step ahead of every organization and guard us better than anyone. But we know that, you know, it's like we calculated, it's like 90% if we're going to win a title, we've got to obviously beat the Warriors at some point. And so we're extremely focused on that. And a lot of our signings and, you know, what we do during the year is based on that.
So your thoughts on the general manager of the Houston Rockets saying all they think about is the Golden State Warriors?
Love it. I love every part of that because the details of it. He's not only saying what we think they should be saying. Mm-hmm. I mean, and he even said, I don't even know if I should be saying this. So he's being honest there. Also, the fact that I do think he's actually even calculated. I mean, as he goes down to the numbers, there's probably 90% chance that we're going to have to go through them. Yeah, I think people would say that's probably accurate. And then when I first I read the quote, I went, okay, don't get too obsessed because, you know, one of the thorns in their side has been the Spurs. Well, he mentioned them.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, they defend us better than anybody.
Yeah.
So we know. And right now I feel comfortable saying that's the three, right? They're probably, if they can avoid one of them, great, but you're going to have to beat one of those teams almost for sure and maybe both. No, I have no problem with it. And then to even recognize that, yeah, they probably brought in P.J. Tucker because he might have to guard Draymond Green or Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Or we brought in Luke Bamute to guard Kevin Durant or, you know, different things like that. And Chris Paul, yeah, you're going to make us a little bit better, and maybe you're going to bother Steph Curry. I think it was all calculated. I think he's 100%. I mean, I think it's all being honest.
I love the honesty in it. More than I love anything else, I love the honesty in it because we make fun of guys who drop Andrew Luck, you know, the Russell Wilsons, the guy who drops the, you know, Peyton Manning, the sports cliches. It's just that, you know, people think Peyton Manning used to say stuff like he didn't say anything. He would just drop the cliches in a more charismatic way than Andrew Luck would. Like, he still wasn't saying anything. But I love the fact that this guy runs a basketball team and openly acknowledges, yeah, we're doing pretty well, and we're doing this way. We're thinking about, you know, Zach Lowe. Add Zach Lowe's name to LeBron James to the Rockets list.
Right.
Along with Sam Amick there. He was writing about that this morning. I love that he's acknowledging, yeah, we're doing this because we're trying to beat the best team in the conference, because mm-hmm. we're trying to beat the best team in the league. Because most people, oh, yeah, would you, Bill Belichick, yeah, was just on to Memphis or whoever's right. next. Like, and they're the most. It's like, come on, man. Like, what are you guys doing here? What are you trying to build? I'd love to hear Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin did this a couple of weeks ago with Tony Dungy.
Yep.
Yeah, we're good enough to win the Super Bowl. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
We're likely going to have to beat the Patriots.
Yeah, and we're probably going to have to play the Patriots twice to do it. I love the honesty in this, and I get a full-on kick out of Daryl Morey for doing that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Cleveland's doing the same thing. Maybe they're not being as transparent or telling us about it. You know, when Kyrie expressed his issues to want out, all right, well, we can maybe grant him his wish, but how is it going to help us? How is it going to help us win the East, and how is it going to help us beat the Warriors? Mm-hmm. And I think, yeah, Isaiah's the big piece in it, but Jay Crowder's just as important.
Yeah.
Another wing defender, two-way player that if they meet in the finals – was an issue that they had last year. So I think it makes total sense by, you know, the Kings aren't trying to beat the Warriors. That's, mm-hmm. They're not there.
Yeah.
Spurs, the Rockets, the Cavs, Celtics, yep, they're the target.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Absolutely.
I love the honesty. There's no mystery, right?
Right.
What's your game? I get it. If they make a move at the trade deadline, it's something they think they need mm-hmm. to help them beat the Warriors.
And it could be something that we look at as just a small move, but when you and I wonder if this changes the frame in which the way we look at what the Houston Rockets might do in February, because Daryl Morey's come out and said it flat out. We're obsessed with beating the Warriors. So they make a move for, you know, some guy on the bench on some team that we don't know a lot about, but we'll look at that and go, okay, what does he do really well? Oh, he's really good in the paint. Oh, he really likes to bang. Oh, he's going to be the guy who's going to have to deal with, you know, JaVale McGee or, you know, Jordan Bell or whoever.
Right.
Like, you're going to start picking apart everything that the Rockets might do for the remainder of the season, which is fine.
Yeah, and then he said it, but you got to be careful. Let's say it's round two and they're playing the Spurs and everything is targeted. Beat the Warriors, beat the Warriors, mm-hmm. beat the Warriors. But maybe you're not as well suited to handle the Spurs for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. Maybe the matchup's just – and you know, it's, you've got to focus on the one team, but be careful with some of these other teams.
Well, and it's also hard. I mean, to build a team specifically to beat another one, you have to assume you're going to be able to beat the other ones along the way. Like,
right.
if you're building a team to beat the top dog, you have to assume that you can beat the dog right below it.
Right. Yeah, and they're probably good. And don't you think everybody in the East has said, well, LeBron, if he's on the Heat, if he's on the Cavs, wherever he is, that's, we got to find a way to beat him.
Mm-hmm.
And no one's figured that out yet.
No, they haven't. And by the way, did you see him last night?
Mm-hmm. Is he good?
A little bit.
Okay.
He's not the MVP, though. He is not the MVP. That guy is in New York. We'll explain. As a matter of fact, you'll hear that. Cool to see a lot of these texts coming in about Dick Enberg, also about mm-hmm. those comments from the Houston Rockets. We'll touch on all this. You want to jump in, 44-1140-339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. It's Christmas Eve, Eve, Eve. Yep. Here on the Lowdown.
Santa Claus on the ceiling. Jack Frost chilling. Pinch the Grinch for being a holiday villain. Season's greetings. All the proceeds are brought to you by the church house where we'll be eating chestnuts.
Snoop Dogg dropping a little Christmas track.
Uh-huh.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yep.
I think is that the one with Boyz II Men? I think it's a new Christmas song with Snoop and Boyz II Men. I just saw it on Apple Music yesterday. I'm not saying you've got to search it out and play it. I'm just saying.
Oh, I think that's exactly what you're saying.
That is very much not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is, as great as LeBron is playing, all these moves that the Houston Rockets are doing, the Golden State Warriors have quietly won 10 straight. It pales in comparison to what we saw at the so-called Mecca last night.
Beasley dribbles on him, into the lane, goes up, and hits! Michael Beasley to the rescue, a season-best 31, and the Knicks are up 99-91 with 105 to go. Listen to this crowd. The chants aren't for Kristaps Porzingis, who has not played here in the fourth. They're for Michael Beasley in his place.
What?
What? Michael Beasley. Who knew before last week? Let's all raise our hands here. Who knew last week that Michael Beasley was still before last week that Michael Beasley was still in the league? Anybody? Bueller? You thought, isn't he with such and such?
Where is he?
Not sure. Yeah. Is he in Japan? Like China?
Right.
Where is he playing ball at? He's in New York, and he's had a really good stretch over. He had 32-12 last night.
Yeah, he's always had that ability. I feel like he is. I don't know whenever his career will end. It'll be a guy that we feel like could have done more. Because I honestly think every time I've ever seen him, you see so much talent, ability to just score. But he doesn't always do it.
I got to fight you a little bit on that. Didn't we all know Michael Beasley played in New York?
Yes, the famous interview that he did.
Who is the person that used 11% of their brain to know that you only use 10% of your brain?
I don't know what type of drug you have to be on to come up with that thought. Yeah. But
a good one.
I would love to be in that mental state just once. Just like if you missed it, it's really extraordinary. Who was the first guy to use 11% of their brain to know that the average person only uses 10? What?
Right.
So you're saying I'm right.
It's very – go out of your way to see it. But Michael
Beasley –
put it
on the Facebook page.
There you go. Go to Facebook. Like the lowdown. We're having fun on social media today. Mm-hmm. By the way, we're even giving away tickets on social media. You can post your pictures to Facebook if you want to on the lowdown page. Post them to any social media network that you want. Just make sure the lowdown can find it, and that'll be your opportunity. Post your picture of you listening to the show on the KHDK app on your smartphone, on your tablet, or on your computer, and we'll enter you to win tickets to see the Sacramento Kings take on the Phoenix Suns December 29th at the Golden 1 Center. We will text. By the way, Andy, we texted the winner yesterday. He never called in.
Oh.
We might have an extra pair of tickets to give away if we can't get a hold of him. Mikey Winfield at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. Dave Meltzer will join us at 1:30, and JR joins us now. Hi, JR.
Hey, no, this is Andy. Can I get those tickets?
Nope, Andy, you cannot.
You're that land shark. Nope,
JR, you're already going to the Suns game. You said that last week.
I am. J. Ross, how do I drop face again? Can you help me with that?
You know, of all people, you know how to do that.
Okay.
Yeah. We've seen your Twitter account.
I don't have many skills. I only use 9% of my brain, but I can drop face.
Well, no one will ever accuse you of not listening, JR. I'm going to tell you that right now. What's up, man?
What are you doing for Christmas? I'm going over to my Uncle Pete's.
Yeah, I'll be there.
You going to go to Pete's?
Yeah, I'm going with Jason.
Yeah, well, I'll be at Uncle Pete's. We'll finally get to see you.
Pete Schwede, you know what he's making, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay, because they're misshapen, but they're here for our pleasure. So.
What's happening?
All sorts of things.
I know it's Friday before a holiday, but
it's Friday before a holiday. It's a great holiday. You guys have given us community the greatest gift of all, your voices, your talent, your ability to talk sports and make us all smile and enjoy our day. So that we thank you for. It is bowl season, though. I wish we had more bowl games.
Me too.
We should double them. You know, why isn't there a bowl game on 24 hours for the next 3 weeks?
Everybody gets a bowl.
I'm pretty sure that there is.
Yeah.
They're pretty sure. And I'll tell you right now, you know what the national championship game is? Ohio State and USC. That should be the national championship game. Those are the two best teams in the country. And if you don't watch that next Friday, you're missing out.
If you don't watch that, you don't like college football.
That's it.
Yep.
But just do it on the sprinkler system. Those two teams are on fire.
Oh, wow.
How's that? Right. Is that a reach?
That's a surefire way to get hung up on.
Oh, I love you guys.
Yeah. Right. All right, JR.
Have a good one.
Merry Christmas, buddy.
It's like
you
gave us a Christmas card there. Nice thoughts.
A nice long Christmas card there on the phone. Again, no one will ever. Callers are rocking the spiked eggnog early today. Yes, I can confirm. JR probably started yesterday. I'm more than confident that that's that that is what is going on. But, JR, we appreciate you. We appreciate the calls. You can get in here this hour. It'd be a good hour to get in, by the way. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. As we mentioned, Mikey Winfield, he's performing at Tommy T's. He'll be with us at 1. Dave Meltzer will be with us at 1:30. We'll explain why in about 7 minutes. After that, Chris is going to get into his top five Christmas movies. And once that happens, I firmly expect the entire I really expect the entire show to go to hell.
Yeah, we derail then at that point.
I'm not so sure we didn't derail at some point with the Michael Beasley MVP chant.
Yeah.
But if
it wasn't like one person.
Oh no, that was a chant.
Was doing it.
The state of New York is condescending. Yeah. Like they believed it. Yeah, they all bought in, and Kristaps Porzingis was 0-for-11.
Unicorn. Yeah,
he had a great quote yesterday, though. I don't know that I have the audio of it, but he tried to quote. I think he thought he was quoting Kobe Bryant, but it very much wasn't. It was somebody else. But he used the line of, "You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Well, I missed 100% of the shots I did take," which I thought was funny. I mean, he had a sense of humor about it. I'm sure because they wound up winning last night, 102-93, but. Knicks playing well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
well enough.
Yeah,
right?
considering what we thought, they're playing better than a lot of other teams in the Eastern Conference. Did you see what John Wall gave his teammates?
I missed that.
It's complete. It made me feel like crap for getting you guys just alcohol.
No, that was nice.
He got them Rolexes.
Wow.
I had to text to make sure he's find out if he gave any of the broadcasters.
Oh, yeah.
Rolex didn't.
It ended in the
teammates.
Ah.
He gave all of his teammates. Yeah. I mean, I would argue some of the broadcasters contribute more than some of the teammates do.
That's true. Especially some of those guys at the end of that bench. Come on.
Come on, man. You guys ain't doing anything. But, yeah, he gave his all of his teammates Rolexes.
Yeah.
What do you think Costa Kufis gave the Sacramento Kings?
Oh, mixtapes.
Serenaded. Oh.
Yeah. 90s mixtapes.
Little playlist.
Yeah.
Sending around.
Uh-huh.
All right, I cannot wait to have Costa.
And how many of the guys, if he did really give them a mixtape, are like, what is this?
Well, I feel like, given the conversation that we had with Garrett Temple yesterday, I think everyone would firmly know what. Oh, it was an actual cassette.
Yeah, he went really old school.
How many players on the Sacramento Kings do you think ever owned a cassette?
Like Vince Carter.
Yep.
That's it.
40.
Yeah, maybe Zeebo. Yeah,
I was going to say, how old is Zeebo?
He's 37.
Oh, he's had it. He's owned. Yeah, he had a cassette. That's probably.
We should ask that to Garrett next time because he's right. He's what, 30, 31?
8 years. Yeah, I think that's about right.
He's going to be close.
Right on the cusp.
Yeah.
When did CDs? I'm trying to think what my first. I know what my first tape. My first album and my first tape were the same thing. It was Thriller. I have no idea what my first CD was.
And CDs, I'm guessing here, isn't that around 88 or 90?
Weren't CD players like $500 when they came out?
Yeah. And now I think you can get them for free.
Pretty sure I didn't get a CD player until like my freshman year of high school. Or maybe eighth grade.
What year was that? Like
98?
Yeah, but the CDs were around though, right?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like early 90s at least.
Oh, 90? Yeah. For sure.
90?
Yeah. I don't remember my first. Do you remember your first DVD? I remember my first DVD.
DVD.
Again, DVDs were a thing. They were like $1,000 when they came out.
I don't remember.
I think you can get that for free, too.
Yeah.
Oh, I know mine. It's Goodfellas.
Goodfellas was your first DVD?
First DVD.
Mine was Love
and
Basketball.
I think I needed to make a point. I wanted to make a point with my first DVD buy.
I did, too.
Yeah.
I went with Love and Basketball.
I don't remember. Love and Basketball.
What was your first Laserdisc, Jason?
Oh, I still have it. Yeah, why? That was going to be like a huge thing, wasn't it?
What?
And those
so
were like
a laser
humongous.
Disc, the laser
like the
disc.
Big...
That was like a record.
It was a record.
Yeah, but it was a movie, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I don't even know if I knew anybody that had one.
It looked just like a CD, but it was the size of a record.
Right.
Yeah.
Was it better quality or something? It must have been at the time.
It was
a selling point.
It's the future. Yeah, that lasted 10 minutes.
You know how records are like a thing, like record
coming
collecting.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a thing. Like you can buy new music on records.
Yeah.
And I wonder if they'll ever do that with Laserdisc. Like we're going to put, you know, the Fast and Furious collection out on Laserdisc.
Chris would buy it.
Christmas next year, buddy. Huh?
All I need is a Laserdisc player.
Hey, that's that. I'm sure just like it's next to the tape deck, the Betamax. Who had Beta? Anybody? Jason, did you have?
I didn't.
No? I didn't either. Yeah. used to go to the video store section. There was like one beta. There was like three like beta movies that you could get.
But they were good.
Oh, they were great ones. Yeah, we'll come back. So we mentioned Dave Meltzer is going to join us at 1:30. We'll tell you why next. Is this a real song?
No, it's a fake song.
Is this a parody or is that really DMX?
It's DMX.
Ugh. It doesn't. It sounds like DMX is parodying himself.
He's had some rough years.
They were all self-inflicted. Like, come on. Lots.
Time
of,
has not been kind to DMX.
He has not. Him and Macaulay Culkin. Because when I think Christmas music, I certainly think DMX.
And I think Macaulay Culkin.
Indeed. Yeah. First CD was
Always or just during Christmas?
Christmas.
First CD was MC Hammer. Can't touch this. First DVD, Natural Born Killers.
Ooh.
I think he was trying to make a point with his. First CD, just from Chris in Elk Grove. First CD was Michael Jackson, Bad. He said he won it from Quad, didn't get a player until a year later. Life After Death. My first CD player, I got a Discman for 8th grade graduation. DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, Summertime. Or I think that album was called Home Base. But
yeah, Summertime was on there.
Summertime was on.
I didn't get a CD until so late. I think the last tape that I got was Big Willie Style.
Oh, wow. That's getting jiggy with it, I think.
Yeah,
there you go. I'm 30 and I had tapes. My first tape was Green Day. Man, that... I think you were buying tapes a little late there. I think CDs were out when you were buying tapes.
Maybe, yeah. But did you have like the other person? Did you have the player yet? You know, people had probably some sort of cassette player, but
And he could have gotten tapes really young.
Yeah,
because I was into music really, really young. I had Thriller. My mom had a record collection. I remember when Blockbuster Video on San Juan opened. KSFM was there. Marcus Allen was there.
Mm-hmm.
And I won Rob Bass and DJ Easy Rock, the album from him.
The actual album.
The actual album.
Okay.
It was my second album.
Yeah.
After Thriller. But yeah, I won it from him. I think I reminded him of that. I don't know when I started, you know, like 15 years ago or whatever. But yeah, I still have the album. I think I still have all my albums. I really only had three. Thriller. Rob Bass and DJ Z Rock. I covered the whole spectrum here in Whitney Houston.
But do you have a player?
Now?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I wish I did.
Mm-hmm.
But see, I've looked at buying like a record player.
Like a new one?
Yeah. Like a new record player, doing the whole thing. But you have to like album collecting is like a thing and it requires work. So like new albums are expensive. They're like $25.
Wow.
But you can go to record shops. You can go downtown, go to one of the record shops downtown and, you know, try to build your collection that way. Marty from Philly, CDs popped up around 1987. My high school buddy had the first CD player I ever saw. Again, that's Marty from Philly. First CD, 1998. Too Short, Getting It.
Whoa, okay.
Getting It while the getting is good. I wonder what the overlap is. Like, how long were people buying tapes when CDs came out? And then how long were people buying CDs when it...
Yeah, I know I had to have been because I don't think I had a CD player. And then once you get the CD player, then it's like, do you want to... Because you still had, at that point, especially if I was into the cassette era, so you had a lot of cassettes. It's like, well, but I still want to play this music even while trying to catch up. Like, would you want to duplicate? Like, if you had a great cassette, did you buy the CD? That was always kind of the struggle.
Did you used to record songs off the radio?
Absolutely. I'd love to do that.
That was the absolute best thing ever.
Yeah.
That is the only place. I could never find Doc Box and Be Fresh Slow Love at a store.
Mm-hmm.
Never. So I could only record it. 102, I know I mentioned KSFM all the time. 102 used to do a show at night called In Between the Sheets.
Oh, yeah.
With bass.
Yeah.
And that's the only place I could ever get Slow Love onto my tape.
So then you're just right by your recorder, system you had, and just... Play and record, same time.
I used to drive my sister crazy because I would listen to music going to sleep.
Yeah.
Like I'd have, turn it down. It's too loud. Stop singing. Like, because we used to share, when we were really young, we used to share rooms. She'd be like, stop, like, shut up.
The hard part about that, too, is when you record, you probably record, I don't remember how many you could record on one side, but looking at the, like, can I get one more song?
There was the 60, yeah. the 90, yeah. the 120.
But you didn't know exactly how much you recorded. You kind of had a guess, yeah. but then you just look at, like, how much was remaining. Can I get one more song out of this?
Did you ever record a song you were waiting for and the tape cut off?
Oh, of course.
Oh, that was the worst. That was the absolute worst.
And you didn't
worst.
Bother flipping because you didn't no. want to flip it over and it was, it's broken like, up song. You just oh. had to...
Then you had to wait again.
Yeah, wait till you hear that again.
You know what was funny about bass, man, is he had that, you know, he has a very deep voice. And when I started at KSFM, I was compared a lot to him. And then people saw me.
Mm-hmm.
I was not tall, dark, and handsome like bass was. It was like, oh, you're not what I expected.
Mm-hmm.
Did you expect bass? Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Like bass looked everything like you thought he would look like.
Okay.
Like, that, like yep, that's what he yeah. looks like. And then along comes me, oh. No, that's not what I expected. Hey, good to meet you. Bye. Dave Meltzer is going to join us at 1:30. Mikey Winfield's performing at Tommy T's. He's already here with us right now. We'll get Mikey all set up. Vince McMahon, we mentioned the XFL kind of in passing. It felt silly, like it was nothing real.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's real. Or
something's going on.
Let me rephrase that. Something is real. He sold over 3 million shares of his WWE stock. And that totals out to about $100 million.
Okay, so what are we reading between that?
Well, he's using the $100 million for something, right? Now, I have an alternative theory
okay.
that I ran by Chris, and Chris basically laughed me out of the room. So I'm going to pose that same question to Dave, and hopefully Dave doesn't hang up on us.
Okay.
But I have another idea. He's filing trademarks.
Yep. A bunch of them, too, right?
Yeah, I think that there was he filed a trademark for He Hate Me, by the way. Like okay. He wants to own the name He Hate Me. But we'll get into all of that stuff. I didn't think this was a thing. Like, yeah. I really didn't. But it is. It's very much a thing.
Yeah. I'd be interested to see what Dave says about that because, you know, for whatever you thought of the XFL, we talked about this before. I thought it could have worked, but mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know if it wants to take on the NFL now or not.
Hypothetically, if the XFL or a version of the XFL returned, would anyone in this room have any interest of reprising their role as a broadcaster for that company?
Yes and yes and yes and yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it was fun.
Did you ever meet anyone associated with the WWE?
Associated with the WWE? No, but I was at, no. Because I'm thinking about some of the games that I did, they were nationally televised. I know I was at a game in Chicago that Dick Butkus was at. So I mm-hmm. met him, but mm-hmm. I always feel like he was one of their main announcers, right?
He was, yeah.
Was Jim Ross doing it too?
He was.
Ventura doing it?
Yep.
Yeah,
he was too.
I did meet him too. Yeah.
Wasn't he the governor at the time?
Yes, he was.
Probably.
He was the governor. He absolutely was the governor of Minnesota. So we'll talk to Dave Meltzer at 1:30. Mike E. Winfield, he's at Tommy T's. He's here now. He's going to join us next on The Lowdown.